He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to this week's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years behind the trading desk here at Gunderson Capital Management, running about six or seven portfolios these days in the market. And this is our little weekly wrap-up show and the current state of the market. Now, we have a big event here Friday with this new COVID variant showing up in South Africa. I mean, as of now, it's too soon to even evaluate what impact it might have on the global economy, the nation's economy, but of course on Friday getting a big sell-off in the usual candidates, okay, the of course, the vacation stocks, the travel stocks, the airlines, the restaurant stocks, the hotel stocks, you know, just like last time, it's almost like deja vu all over again. And you're seeing a huge drop in oil prices here. In fact, oil down about 6%, clear down to $72 a barrel. That's a level we haven't seen in a long, long time. And, of course, during the last bout of COVID, oil actually went negative for a while. Remember that. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, you're seeing the work-from-home stocks doing well. And you're seeing the vaccine stocks, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson and Johnson, AstraZeneca, doing very, very well. So we'll just have to see how this plays out. But as always, it comes back to that all-important factor in the market, and that is earnings. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide firm that I started back in 2006. We have clients all over the country as our radio show reaches into many states across America. And I've been doing this show, radio show, Best Stocks Now, for the last 20-plus years, two decades. I've been writing a newsletter called Best Stocks Now for the last two-plus decades. I've been managing stock portfolios for the last two-plus decades, and I invented an app to serve my purposes in narrowing down a big field of stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, about 6,000, down to what are what I consider, using my methodology, to be the best stocks now. And, you know, I'm looking for companies that are best stocks now, not stocks of yesteryear, okay? There's a lot of those, the IBMs, the AT&Ts of the world. And then there's the companies of today, whether it's in fintech, whether it's in the metaverse, whether it's new drug discoveries, whether it's in the electric vehicle industry, which tends to be on the little more speculative side. I would say most of the stocks that are really, you know, that are best stocks now, a lot of them come from, obviously, the technology sector, where we've seen the biggest advances here recently. But, you know, before you ever even get into looking at individual stocks or looking at mutual funds or looking at what the best ETFs in the market are today, you first have to kind of decide on the big picture. Okay, the big picture is the market itself and the different asset classes that you have to choose from. You know, a lot of people just choose cash. They say, eh, you know what, the heck with it. I'm just going to choose cash and stay in cash. I'm not going to venture into the digital currencies. I'm not going to venture into the Amazons or the Apples of the world. I'm not going to venture into the bond market and earn some interest on money that I loan to some of these big corporations. Or I'm not going to venture into the precious metals. I'm just going to sit in cash. You know, I had a client, and, you know, over the years, as a money manager and owning my own RIA firm, I met with a lot of people. You know, before I owned my own RIA firm, I worked for another RIA firm. And back in those days, we used to meet with people in person more often than not. Today, we do more phone and Zoom conferencing, it would seem. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people and where they're at. I can usually tell where they're at on that scale of nervousness or trepidation about investing. And I think for some people, you know, investing money at all is just too tough for them because they can't handle the risk that comes along with any kind of investment. Anytime you're stepping out of a CD or, you know, a savings account or whatever, you're taking on a little bit more risk, or in some cases a lot more risk, in hopes for getting a little bit better return. And you got to realize that your money sitting in cash is losing out to inflation. The latest inflation print came in at 6.2%, which is the hottest print we've had in the last 30 years. And it looks like that this inflation may not be as transitory as we were being told, but instead it could be a problem that's starting to rear its ugly head. Now, I hope not, because inflation can get out of control very, very quickly. And it's very hard to rein it back in. That was the case back in the 70s when we had inflation nearing 20% there for a while and interest rates up around that same amount. It's a difficult thing to get you know, under control if it does happen to get out of control. But my point is the money you have sitting in the bank, it's decaying. I call it the inflation termites, which are gnawing away at it 24/7 at your savings and your CDs, etc. Now, on the other hand, if you want to step it up a notch and try to get a little bit better return in the market, you know, some people will go to the bond market and they'll buy good, high-quality bonds or bond funds that lend money to companies that are using the money to normally expand their operations. Usually you tie up your money anywhere from 3 to 10 years. You can go out even further than that. A blue chip bond these days yields about the same as a treasury. You know, maybe about in the high 1%, maybe 2%. The bonds do fluctuate, as interest rates fluctuate, as interest rates start going back up again, the value of your bond starts going down a bit. But if you're going to hold your bond to maturity, you're going to get back your initial investment as long as the company's still around. And you're going to get a coupon rate, whatever the coupon rate on that bond is, over time. I do run, that's the most conservative portfolio that I run here at Gunderson Capital Management. I run what I call a Best Bonds Now portfolio. And it's done very well since we started it. It's got about 10 different bonds in it. And we made some good double-digit profits on a lot of those bonds because they've gone up in value with credit upgrades or with interest rates favorability and whatnot. So, you know, it's not a bad way to go if you just want to dip your toe into the water and step it up a little bit from, you know, your passbook savings. Now, the next level up I would call dividend-paying stocks. Now you're getting a little bit of a dividend, maybe anywhere from 1 to maybe up to 6-7% in some cases. But yeah, the average dividend nowadays on a blue chip stock's probably more in the 1.5% range, somewhere in there. But at the same time, you also own the stock. You own the underlying stock. And you have the possibility of making capital gains on the stock along with the dividend. We call that total return. And as it relates to dividend investing, I'm a guy that likes to buy companies that are still growing their earnings and paying a dividend. That flies in the face of a company like IBM or AT&T that are paying very large dividend yields, but the stocks are not growing anymore. So you have very little chance of capital appreciation. I'd rather get some good capital appreciation and a smaller dividend than a big dividend and very little growth in the stock. That's the way I look at it. That's how I choose my best dividend stocks now. And I run a dividend portfolio that currently has about 20 stocks in it. You know, I list my stocks that I own and my macro outlook on the market every week in my newsletter, and I'm offering 2 free weeks today. Go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to check out this week's newsletter. More on what's in it here in a bit. Best Stocks Now show here today. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager and a president of Gunderson Capital Management. We were discussing kind of the risk levels of the market that people have to choose from and what level of risk they're willing to take. Now let's go up a notch above cash. Let's go a notch above CDs. Let's go a notch above bonds. Let's go even one notch higher than dividend-paying stocks. The next level up are growth stocks. And growth stocks come in all shapes and sizes. You can buy micro-cap stocks. You can buy small-cap stocks. You can buy mid-cap stocks, large-cap stocks, mega-cap stocks. You're talking, you know, the face or the FANG stocks there with your mega caps. And, of course, there's overseas stocks. There's emerging markets. There's developed international markets. Now, the allure of growth stocks, let's go back to 2008, 2009. Who remembers what happened in 08 and 09? We had a financial crisis. We had a real estate market of single-family homes that had become a bubble, and we had all those bad loans against that bubble, and when that bubble started to deflate, a lot of those loans went belly up, and we brought our financial system to its knees. It was eventually saved by, I suppose you could say, TARP funds and a very accommodative Fed, and we got out of the mess we were in. But during that period of time, the S&P went down 53%. Okay, that was the bad news on growth stocks. The good news is the S&P, think about this, got down to 660 in 2009. 660. Today it's 4,600. The S&P has gone up almost 4,000 points since 2008, 2009. That's a pretty good return on your money. What is that, a sevenfold increase? Your 100 grand has become 700 grand since 2009. Now, what drove the S&P? I mean, is there any reason? Is it because of the popularity of the market? The market was popular. The market became popular again. Is there any rational reason that we can point to as to why the market has gone up this far? And possibly use that reason going forward to try to predict what's going to happen to the market over the next several years. Well, the number one reason the market went up is earnings. Earnings for the S&P 500 companies went from $53 a share back in 2009. That's where they bottomed out. This year we're going to make about $200 per share in S&P 500 earnings. So those earnings have gone up fourfold during that period of time. The market's gone up about sixfold during that period of time. You've also seen an expansion in the multiple of the market. Because an overly accommodative and friendly Fed has kept interest rates very, very low, and that's allowed the multiple to expand. In real estate, it's all about location, location, location. In the stock market, it's all about earnings, 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 especially if you're a growth investor and want to participate in the growth of the market and or try to find the very best growth stocks in the market. Okay, if it's earnings that has driven the market from 660 to today's level of almost 4,600, somewhere in there, it's all about earnings going forward, isn't it? Are earnings going to continue to increase in 2022, next year, in 2023, next year, and even into 2024? Well, nobody knows that for sure, but we have a cadre of analysts out there that cover these 500 companies that make up the S&P 500. Some of these companies have 20 analysts following them or even more. Some of them have just a handful of analysts. Not only does the market trade on earnings, 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 but it also trades on earnings expectations. That's right, earnings expectations. That's why back during the bottom of COVID, February of 2020, March of 2020, when everything looked as bad as it could possibly look, as grim, as gloomy as it could possibly look, the market was looking ahead to the year we're in now and even next year to earnings expectations. The market blasted off in March of 2020, and it doubled faster than it has ever doubled in its history. I also am a fairly prolific writer for Seeking Alpha. Not only do I make macro calls on the overall market, but I write about a lot of individual stocks. I'm one of the top-ranked writers by the performance of the stocks that I write about and the market calls that I make in their entire universe of writers. Back in March of 2020, I said it's time to go all in the market. The market has bottomed. You can look up the article there. Just go to seekingalpha.com and look up Bill Gunderson and look at articles that I was writing back in February and March of 2020. I said the market has bottomed. It's time to get in. What are you buying? I took a lot of heat. I took a lot of criticism for that article. People thought I was nuts, but you know what? I was absolutely right about the market. Maybe you might want to know what I think about the market going forward. Now, the average investor is looking at today, okay, tomorrow, and yesterday. We have another COVID threat out there. We'll have to see this play out, but the market's not going to behave any differently than it did the last time we had a COVID threat. It's all going to be about the earnings expectations going forward and what impact this latest COVID scare might have on those expectations. Therefore, as a money manager responsible for a lot of money that I manage for hundreds and hundreds of clients all across America, I am very keen on the overall market outlook, and I update that every single weekend in the newsletter that I've been writing for the last 21 years because I do believe there's such a thing as market timing, that you can time the markets. I'm not talking about daily or weekly or monthly. But the market goes through big cycles. The economy goes through big cycles. We have expansion. Eventually that expansion starts to top out, level off. And then we have contraction, and the market follows along. But the market is about 2 years ahead of what that it's 2 years. It's looking out 2 years as to what it thinks the economy is going to do. Well, it all comes down to, once again, earnings, earnings, earnings. I publish my earnings forecast every week in my newsletter. And my target price and my macro outlook for the market every single week. I've been right since 2008. You want to see what I'm saying now? You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson. Well, I guess the question is, have you participated in this S&P 500 since 2009? Earnings have gone from $53 per share on the S&P 500. We're expecting $200 this year. That's already been priced into the market. The market is now looking ahead to next year. And even the year after that, what? How can we even get? Well, you know what? I mean, these analysts are talking to every single company in the S&P 500 on a regular basis and sharpening their pencil every several weeks or whatever. We just came through earnings season, so we have a much better picture as to what next year looks like and the year after that. And if we're going to continue on this rise of the S&P that's gone from 670 to 4,670, it's going to rely on a couple of things. Number one, for earnings to continue to grow, obviously. And number two, for interest rates to remain low and keep that multiple kind of elevated that we currently have in the market right now. Anyway, that's what I do for a living. I'm at it every single day. I do a radio show Monday through Friday, a one-hour live show. But I spend 3 hours before that show in preparation for it. And that's all my internal research as far as the macro outlook for the market and for the individual stocks that I own in each portfolio that I manage. And I summarize the whole week in my newsletter every weekend at GundersonCapital.com, which goes out to all my clients, You know, my phone doesn't ring all that much with people worried about what I think about the market and this and that because they get my newsletter every week, which is pretty in-depth. Again, it's my internal research as far as the decisions that I make on a daily basis on individual stocks and on the market itself. They also, many of my clients, listen to my radio show or the podcast, which is uploaded to my site every day at GundersonCapital.com. It's a hard-hitting show, Best Stocks Now. I mean, we're looking for cutting-edge stocks of today. We like profitable companies. Sometimes we'll go out on a limb and buy stocks that look like they're going to be profitable in the near future. We do like disruptors, but we don't like disruptors that are way out there on the horizon that might be profitable way down the road. We like to keep it a little closer to the vest than that. And I run, like I say, a bond portfolio, a dividend and growth portfolio. And I run 3 flavors of growth portfolios. I run a large cap growth portfolio, which, you know, that's a pretty good place to be right now. The mega caps, large caps, still very, very much in favor. And I run an ultra growth portfolio. I'll just let you look at the results of it and how it's done. I think you'd be quite surprised at how well it's done over the last, since I started. I started it for Seeking Alpha for their subscription. I'm one of the premium subscription writers for Seeking Alpha, and I have a lot of subscribers that are do-it-yourselfers, and they watch what I do, and they play along and follow along. And then I run an emerging growth portfolio, which is my most aggressive one. And, you know, you're going to find some of the renewable energy stocks there, maybe a biotech or two that looks really, really promising, or some young software companies that hopefully will grow up to be bigger mid-caps and large caps someday. That's what I do for a living. That's my passion. And my the results of my work I offer in two different fashions. A lot of people that listen to the Best Stocks Now show and get my newsletter and subscribe to my app, beststocksnowapp.com, they're do-it-yourselfers. They like to manage their own money. And, of course, with all the information and, you know, no-cost trades and whatnot, I think the millennials especially are doing a lot of their own money management. A lot of retirees do their own money management. So I offer those tools for do-it-yourselfers. I have my basic app, which I wrote and put the algorithms in it to rank 6,000 different stocks. The beauty of it is I can look at a stock, I look at its ranking and its overall rating, and I can eliminate a stock. I can eliminate 90% of the market. That is very helpful as a money manager each day looking for the cream of the crop. Being able to eliminate 90%, I can focus my efforts in those cream of the crop stocks that exhibit good. I have to be able to justify the valuation on the stock. And I also have to, I like companies that are in favor and are leaders. I mean, you look at the semiconductor sector, for instance. There's a couple of stocks that dominate that sector. NVIDIA and AMD dominate the sector. And then you've got laggards in that sector like Intel. That's right. Intel is a laggard. So I'm looking for the best stocks now, and that's how I designed my ranking system. You can look within a sector, find the best stocks now within a sector, whether it be the drug sector, the oil and gas sector, the transportation sector, the electric vehicle sector. So some people just subscribe to my basic app, beststocksnowapp.com. It's $9.99 a month. That's what it is, $9.99 a month. And then I have another service where anytime I make a buy or sell in the portfolios that I personally manage for other people, you get a live notification of that buy or sell, and it covers all the portfolios that I manage. And that's an $89 per month subscription. And you get my weekly newsletter, which has an update on all the portfolios and my macro outlook and whatnot. I mean, it's pretty much a turnkey system that can help you manage and learn a lot about the market and picking individual stocks. But my biggest thing that I do every day is I manage money for other people who don't have the time to be looking up stock rankings, to be looking at stock charts. I look at 1,000 stock charts a day as part of my profession. To me, looking at those charts tells me and the charts come from all walks of life, energy stocks, sectors, indexes, foreign indexes, interest rates, the bond market, precious metals, ETFs, and on and on and on. And that, the average person, I mean, it's time-consuming. It's a 10-hour day for me from start to finish. And a lot of people just say, look, he's a fee-based money manager. He charges a low fee to manage the money. He puts me in the portfolio or a mix thereof that he thinks is appropriate. I have people that you talk to first, a certified financial planner that determines your risk tolerance, your age, your where you're at right now, where you need to get to, how much you're going to need someday. Maybe that someday is here now, and he helps you with a plan, a basic plan to follow, and determines, you know, what would be the best portfolios for you to be in. So I have the tools. If you go to my website at GundersonCapital.com, you'll see you have two choices right up there in the front. I'd like to see the tools that you offer for do-it-yourselfers, or I would like to set up a telephone Zoom appointment with you guys to talk about what you might be able to do for me. And you can go to GundersonCapital.com to look at any of that, GundersonCapital.com. And I also, if you just want to take a gander at the newsletter, which gives you a good flavor for what we're all about here at GundersonCapital.com, a nationwide firm with this radio show in many cities across America, you can go to my website. That newsletter only goes out to my clients and my live trading subscribers. That's the $89 per month subscription. I also have a basic newsletter without the portfolios too, which is $195 per month. But I offer out 2 free weeks of the whole enchilada, the full Monty, the live trading newsletter that has all my portfolios in it. It shows you how they've done. It shows you what's currently in them. I usually own about 20 to 25 stocks in each portfolio. What am I looking for in each of those portfolios? Well, just like a general manager of a baseball team, I'm looking for the best players now to fill my rosters of stock portfolios. And you can see them at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be back for the final segment of today's show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I use that song because it's one of the, you know, you have a choice of who you want managing your money, what style you want employed in that, how much risk you want to take, how much risk you don't want to take, etc. And people either choose to manage their own money, not to get involved in the markets at all, or to hire a professional money manager who does it for a living. Now, in this last segment, I want to talk a little bit about risk, okay, and how you can you can't get rid of risk if you're going to buy a portfolio of some of the best growth stocks in the market today, you know, the Amazons, the Facebooks of the world, and others, many others, you're going to take on more risk, obviously, than you would if you just stayed with the money in your mattress, for instance. But, you know, if the money in the mattress didn't grow during the last 12 years where we've had a bull market, markets up 450, 600, or 500, 600% since then, the money in the mattress has decayed with inflation by a couple of percent a year, and this most recent year has decayed even more than that. But obviously, you've got to take a little bit more risk in doing that. Now, the ways that I, as a professional money manager, do my best to mitigate that risk, number one, is buying high-quality stuff to begin with, all right? I'm not out there buying meme stocks, Dogecoins and stable coins and all the rest of them. You know, I'm looking for big, dominant companies that are the best of breed in their industry. That's one way. I would call that quality risk. Number two, value risk. I have to be able to make a good case for the stock, being able to go higher in the coming years. And that's going to happen by their earnings continuing to increase. The third way is I don't believe in automatic sell stops where some people will say, if it goes down 7 or 8%, I'm out. Well, the problem with that, I mean, a lot of the greatest stocks of all time have gone down 7 or 8%. People were stopped out of it, and then they've gone on to be some of the biggest winners in the market of all time. You missed out on a double or a triple because you took a 7 or 8% loss. Instead, I look at stocks visually every day. I look at charts, and I usually have some kind of a line in the sand on where I'm going to sell a stock. And I'm very vigilant on my holdings. I look at the holdings in my portfolio every single day, very vigilant, which most people don't have the time to do. And, of course, a lot of people are with passive money managers. They don't do anything. They just adjust it your asset allocation every 3 months or so, and they leave you in the market come hell or high water. If interest rates start to really bolt higher, that's going to be bad news for the bond market, but they stay the course, okay? And if earnings start to fall on the S&P 500 and the economy starts to top out and starts to roll over, they stay put in index funds or in ETFs, etc., in an asset allocation. I'm not a passive money manager, nor am I a guy that's day trading. I look for the big cycles in the market. I'm a veteran. I'm a survivor of the year 2000, wherein the dot-com went down 80%. The NASDAQ went down 80%. And many people were heavily involved in that NASDAQ that went down 80%. That was a bubble in certain industries that had no business trading at the valuations that they were trading at that time. And it popped, and it popped hard. I will warn you that there's a few bubbles, several bubbles in the market today that are as bad, if not worse, than that 2000 era. And those are some areas of the market that you better be really, really careful, because they're not bubbles anymore. They're balloons, and they're going to pop at some point in time. So that's another way. I mean, controlling risk is not getting involved in the bubblicious type of activity in the market, the GameStops of the world. I've seen some ridiculous valuations on IPOs that on day one they're bigger than Caterpillar, they're bigger than IBM. And they don't even have any sales yet. I mean, that's really out there on a limb. You're going way out on a limb, hoping for earnings someday. And the other big way that I try to mitigate risk, I do believe in market timing. When earnings start to falter, earnings expectations start to falter and start to head down, which they haven't been done for 12 straight years, except for the COVID year, which was an extraordinary event, I start backing out of the stock market. And the last way to mitigate risk is I will at times use what are called inverse ETFs. They are just an exchange-traded fund on the S&P 500, only it's engineered to go up when the market goes down. It goes the opposite way of the market. And there's many available to professional money managers, to individual money managers these days on almost any asset class out there. And when things start to fall apart, you can make some money in these inverse ETFs if you know how to use them. Or you can hedge off risk also. For instance, in the bond market, you can be inverse junk bonds, for instance, which at some point are going to have a real comeuppance. You can be on the inverse side of that trade. And as the junk bonds start to sell off at some point in the future, you would make money. Your inverse junk bond fund would go up. You can inverse the NASDAQ. You can inverse the Dow, the S&P 500. You can inverse China stocks. That's been a very profitable trade this year. So anyways, controlling risk is my job as a professional money manager. I can't get rid of the risk. You're taking on risk. You're not going to participate in a market, an S&P that's gone from 660 to 4660 over the last 12 years. You're going to have to take on a little bit of risk. But, you know, you can do your best to be vigilant on the stocks you own, not to delve into that very speculative area of the market, and watch for those big signals on the overall economy and on the overall market. That's my job. That's what I get paid. That's what you're paying that fee to me for, is to do all of that while you're working, while you're playing with the grandkids, etc. You can call us at 855-611-BEST if you like what you hear, 855-611-BEST, or start with the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.